Sometime in early September 2012, the Singapore police received a report from a young woman that her 11-year-old brother had been receiving highly inappropriate messages from a man named Yap Wang Hua. Shortly thereafter, another report surfaced, alleging that 29-year-old Yap had engaged in inappropriate behavior with a young boy. Immediately, officers descended upon his residence in Yishun and took him into custody. Inside the interrogation room, the air was tense. Yap Wang Hua had a boyish look on him. Even though he was reaching his 30s, he still had somewhat of a baby face. But apart from that, nothing else really stood out. However, the seriousness of the situation was unmistakable. Though he appeared just like any other ordinary adult, the nature of his actions was far from ordinary. The day that he was arrested, and under pressure from the police, Yap confessed to having sex with a total of 3 underage boys. According to the Singapore Penal Code, any person who engages in sexual intercourse with a minor under the age of 16 are subject to severe penalties. The law stipulates that such offenders may face imprisonment for up to 10 years, a fine, or both. However, the consequences escalate significantly if the minor is below the age of 14. In such cases, the perpetrator may be sentenced to imprisonment for up to 20 years, in addition to being liable for a fine or caning. In the case of Yap Wang Hua, should he be found guilty of the offenses he confessed to regarding the 3 boys, he would most likely face a substantial prison sentence. However, what transpired next would catapult the case into the forefront of every local newspaper's headlines. Upon investigating further, they discovered a disturbing truth. Yap had not been truthful about the extent of his actions. It wasn't just 3 boys, it was at least 10 times more. When the police confiscated his personal items, like his mobile phone and laptop, they found a staggering total of more than 2,000 highly inappropriate videos. Many of them were of Yap performing indecent acts with his victims, and each were carefully organized according to their names and ages, as well as the locations where he had encountered them. This revelation exposed the calculated and methodical predatory behavior ingrained within Yap, and was also the evidence that made Yap Wang Hua the most infamous child predator in the country. You're listening to Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast, brought to you by MediaCorp and produced by 1UP Media. This episode may contain sensitive details and graphic imagery. Listener discretion is advised. On September 8, 2012, Yap Wang Hua faced the legal system head-on as he was formally brought before the court to answer to a staggering 76 charges. Each and every one of these charges stemmed from crimes perpetrated against teenage boys aged between 11 and 15 in Singapore. Following this, he was remanded for investigations. Given the staggering revelation of over 2,000 inappropriate videos found within his laptop, there was looming speculation over what other secrets he might be hiding. Given the gravity of Yap's crimes, an anticipated surge of media coverage on the case was expected. But that was not the case, because this was a deliberate strategy to protect the ongoing investigation. At this stage of the investigation, revealing Yap's arrest prematurely could have adverse effects. Any potential victims who had not yet stepped forward might be overwhelmed by media scrutiny and feelings of shame, leading to their reluctance to come forward or to the compromise of vital leads. Therefore, as shocking as his crimes were, confidentiality was important. It was revealed that during his time working in Singapore, Yap, then 26 years old, began his predatory spree from November 2009 until June 2012, just 3 months before his arrest. His MO involved using social media platforms like Facebook to seek out young boys residing or attending schools near his home. While the exact reason for selecting victims in close proximity to his residence is not explicitly stated, it is reasonable to infer that the closer his victims were, the more convenient it would be for him to take advantage of them. Yarp would create several fictitious identities on Facebook, frequently adopting the name Y Loon and portraying himself as an 18-year-old polytechnic student based in Singapore. Sometimes, he would lie that he was a foreign student from Indonesia, deceiving his victims by stating he was seeking friends due to being new in the area. Since many of his victims were young and vulnerable, they would accept his friend requests and reply to his messages. During his online exchanges with his victims, he would portray himself as an older brother figure or mentor, leveraging this facade to cultivate trust over long periods of time, often spanning weeks or even months. To him, each accepted friend request meant a step closer to ensnaring a new victim. Yet he understood the need to be subtle in his interactions. Yarp Wang Wah knew that getting his victims to meet him would require more than just a swift approach. He needed to create a bond with his victims. Consequently, he invested considerable time delving into topics of interest shared with his victims, such as their hobbies, their favorite movies, sports, and video games. Once he sensed that the boys were comfortable with him, he would gradually integrate discussions about more sensitive topics, such as sex. This calculated approach allowed him to establish a rapport with his victims while subtly laying the groundwork for his predatory intentions. According to sources, Yarp Wang Wah's criminal charge sheet was 23 pages long and contained 76 charges made against him. Seven of them involved 11-year-olds, 13 of them involved 12-year-olds, and the last four involved 15-year-old boys. These were details that were not revealed to the public at the time and wouldn't come to light for another 3 years at least. When the full report of his crimes were eventually made public, it revealed that Yarp had targeted a total of 31 boys, with only one managing to avoid becoming a victim. 51 of his charges were related to sexual penetration of a minor below 14 years old, while 24 others were for minors below 16. The last remaining charge involved him soliciting a 12-year-old to record himself performing indecent acts and sending the video over to him. Of the 76 criminal acts committed, there were several that stood out as particularly egregious ones. On February 4, 2010, Yarp had arranged to meet with a 13-year-old boy at a public swimming complex in Haogang. The purpose of this meeting was not disclosed publicly, but it is believed that the boy lived nearby and was heading home from school at the time. At the swimming complex, Yarp accompanied the boy to the changing room and entered a cubicle with him. The boy was then instructed to remove his school uniform, and when he did, Yarp sodomized him and filmed the act. On another occasion in March 2010, Yarp had arranged a meeting with a 15-year-old boy at a hotel in Geylang. Upon the boy's arrival, he attempted to undress and kiss him, but the boy refused. Despite his protests, Yarp eventually forced himself on the boy and performed oral sex on him. In late September 2011, Yarp met a 14-year-old boy, and this time forced him to perform oral sex while they were inside a toilet cubicle at the Tampines Stadium. And finally, there was another instance, the date of which remains unspecified, where Yarp met and talked with another boy for several months on Facebook before they met in person at a shopping mall. He had invited the boy to the mall for lunch and a visit to the arcade, but eventually took him back to his rented room to watch cartoons while his landlord was in the house. On that day, Yarp removed the boy's clothes and sexually assaulted him. However, he later assured the young boy that it wouldn't happen again, and they continued to maintain their friendship. Despite this, they would continue to meet on several occasions, and each time, Yarp would assault him again, either before or after taking the boy for a movie or for lunch. While preying on his victims in Singapore, The police found that Yap had also targeted other teenage boys back in Malaysia. During his annual visits back to his hometown in Ipoh, Yap was noted to have sexually assaulted another 14 boys, all under the age of 16. He also filmed these acts, just like his 31 victims in Singapore. Yap confessed to these offences when he was arrested in September 2012. But since these crimes were committed outside of Singapore, he was not handed a single charge related to these 14 boys. On January 16, 2015, 2 years and 4 months following his arrest, 31-year-old Yap Wang Wah faced trial in the High Court of Singapore. When the trial began, he pleaded guilty to 12 counts of sexual penetration with a minor and agreed to have an additional 64 charges considered during his sentencing. During the court proceedings, Dr. Saluja, a psychiatrist from the Institute of Mental Health, provided a diagnosis report indicating that Yap was diagnosed with hebephilia, which means that Yap had a sexual preference for children aged between 11 and 14 years old. In his subsequent report, he also stated that although it was challenging to definitively diagnose Yap with a pedophilic disorder or pedophilia, his pursuit of pubescent boys for sexual satisfaction did exhibit a deviant pattern of sexual behaviors, a pattern that is extremely common among many other high-risk sex offenders. During the trial proceedings, the prosecution pushed for a sentence of at least 30 years imprisonment and the maximum legal punishment of 24 strokes of the cane for Yap, labeling him as a clear and present danger to society. They argued that Yap's offences exhibited a high degree of premeditation, and by exploiting the internet, he deliberately targeted a vulnerable group of victims, engaging in unprotected sex with his victims in all instances. On the other hand, Yap's lawyer requested a sentence of no more than 20 years of imprisonment. He argued that during his client's period of remand, Yap had expressed a genuine desire for reform and rehabilitation. Therefore, he believed Yap deserved a second chance, or at the very least, some degree of leniency. It took 3 years from Yap's arrest to the point where his crimes were exposed in newspapers and the media. And reportedly, Yap's family faced significant challenges following his arrest. His sister was forced to abandon her university studies in order to get a job to support the family, while his brother had to resign from his job to care for their mother at home. Additionally, every single week, his family had to endure a six-hour journey from Ipoh to Singapore to visit him in prison, where he was being held on remand pending trial. During his mitigation in court, Yap Wang Wah broke down in tears and expressed remorse and shame for his actions. He apologized to his family, who continued to offer their support despite their shock at his actions. He also apologized to all the victims. He blamed his childhood experiences of rape during primary school and fear of rejection from a female classmate in secondary school as factors that contributed to shaping his current behavior. However, despite his tearful pleas, there was little that could convince the court that he deserved a light sentence. On March 20th, 2015, 2 months following his conviction by the High Court, 31-year-old Yap Wang Wah was sentenced to 30 years imprisonment and 24 strokes of the cane. The sentence would be backdated to the 8th of September 2012, the date of his remand. Upon completing the full 30-year term, he would be released in the year 2042. At the time, Yap's case had captured widespread attention in Singapore and stunned the nation upon its disclosure. Despite being in his early 30s, he had an innocent, boyish look on him, which made it difficult for many to connect his looks with the heinous nature of his crimes. After news of his crimes came to light, public advisories, including those issued by the government, emphasized the need for increased awareness among young people and parents regarding online risks. These efforts were aimed at preventing similar crimes from occurring in the future. In 2015, Yap Wang Wah was listed among the top 10 individuals who captured nationwide attention and his case is considered to be one of the top 25 most heinous crimes that have shaken Singapore since 1965. Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast, is brought to you by MediaCorp and 1UP Media. This episode was produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, narrated by Jason, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media. Special thanks to executive producer Danny Cordy from MediaCorp. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.